She friend-zoned me and got mad at me for blocking her after. About 3 years ago, I, a 25-year-old man, had feelings for a girl we'll call Megan. She was 22. She was nerdy, into anime, and played a lot of video games. It was those traits that made me interested in her, since I was also an anime lover and gamer. Over time, that interest turned into genuine attraction. At first, I was hesitant about asking her out because I wasn't sure if she felt the same, but after some encouragement from my friends, I made my move. We met up at a local diner for lunch. The diner was one of those mom and pop places, and the food was really good. As we're eating, I finally decided to tell her how I felt. Again, I was hesitant about doing so, but I went through with it anyway. She seemed receptive at first. She asked me what it was about her that made me interested in her. So I listed a few things: her interest in anime, her taste in video games, her dark sense of humor, things like that. I didn't want to ask her to be my girlfriend right then and there, so instead I asked if she would be up for getting to know each other more and maybe going on an actual date or two to see where things would go. She then goes on to apologize and says that she does like me, but only as a friend. She said that she didn't want to ruin our friendship and that she didn't want there to be any bad feelings if we did get together but broke up. Hearing that hurt a bit. Part of me wanted to at least try to convince her to change her mind, but the only words that came out of my mouth were, "Okay, I'm fine with that." We chatted for a little while longer before we left the diner and went our separate ways. I tried to reach out a few times after that day to see how she was doing, but I was either left on read or met with one-word replies. So, after a while, I stopped reaching out. Fast forward about 2 months, I finally met someone new. We'll call her Sophie. Sophie, who is 24, was into art and photography. In her own words, she told stories with her art. Whatever piqued her interest wound up as a painting or sculpture or a framed photograph. She was really good at it, and after a while, those same feelings from months before started to come back. What I didn't expect was for her to feel the same way. I asked her to go on a date with me, and she said yes. Date nights became a regular thing, until eventually we made things official. After our seventh date, I asked her if she would like to be my girlfriend, and she said yes. The next day, when I told my friends about it, they were stoked, since they were the ones that pushed me to move on and not let my rejection from months ago bother me. A week later, I'm sitting in my room reading a book when I get a messenger notification. I look and see that it's from Megan. I thought this was kind of weird, considering the fact that she hadn't spoke to me in months. Out of curiosity, I open the message. Her message was basically a short paragraph, talking about how, after having some time to think, she decided that she actually did want to be my girlfriend. Her message said that she always had feelings for me and that she was ready to give us a chance. Now, things started to look even more weird. I mean, really? After all this time, all the one-worded replies and unread messages, now she has feelings? I took a screenshot of her message and sent it to Sophie. After that, I blocked Megan, and I thought that that was the end of it. About 2 days later, Megan shows up to my house, and she is extremely upset. As I open the door, she starts ripping me a new one, telling me how horrible I am for blocking her after she confessed her feelings for me. I told her that she has no right to be upset about anything, considering the fact that she was the one who rejected me and said that we would never be a thing. She then tries to guilt trip me, asking me if her feelings for me meant anything. I then said, "Where were those feelings when I was single?" I told her that she doesn't just get to switch up now that she sees me with someone else and then get upset at me for not going along with it. I said, "Have a nice day," and then I shut the door. Our friend group is divided on this, and I'm starting to question if I did the right thing or not. I was just a bit upset. It felt like she expected me to just ditch my girlfriend for her just because she changed her mind. What do you guys think? Well, I think it's pretty obvious what I think and what you guys are going to think here. Don't need to go into too much detail. Obviously, OP, you're completely in the right here. This girl, it's just typical, right? Oh, I don't want to ruin our friendship. But actually, I will then ruin our friendship by being weird, not replying to your messages or giving you one-word answers, etc. Pretty much, she doesn't really like you. That's just a fact. But as soon as you get a little bit of love from someone else, "Oh, actually, no, I liked you this whole time." What? You didn't realize? What? Now that I'm saying it, you're invalidating my feelings? We've seen it all before, guys. This woman is one to stay clear of. Sophie, on the other hand, she sounds great. Let me know if she's selling any of her photos. I'll buy one. Now moving on to our second post. Mother asked when she's moving in with me and my partner in this rich country. This conversation popped up at the wake of my grandmother's funeral. She was holding her plate of food and sat down next to my aunt and me in a couch. She was very smug looking. She kept smirking at people as if she's any better than them. Well, it turned out she had it in her head somehow that she'd be moving to another country with me and my partner and our kids. Because grandma had passed away, she'd therefore now have no responsibility like that, and she's retired. So she'd gone around telling people how she'd be living a ravishing, retired lifestyle in a rich Scandinavian country for free, without having to raise any dang finger. She actually asked me loudly, "So, when does my flight leave?" I asked what the heck she meant by that, and she said loudly so that everyone could hear, "You know, our flight back to your husband's country so I can live luxuriously like you promised me." I promised her F all, other than never gonna talk to her again after I flew back. So me being me and my incapability of sugarcoating anything, I blatantly told her that that would never happen because I'm not stupid enough to bring her dangerous butt around my children. The face crack of the century, let me tell you. My aunt and the rest of the room cackled. She then thought she heard it wrong, so I repeated again. "You're not moving in with me, and you can erase the idea from your brain because you're a dangerous, lazy, greedy person, and I am not about to introduce that type of energy to my children." She then threw tantrums, yelling and shouting about how she's entitled to move in with me and be taken care of by the family. I argued back that unless she would be willing to find a place to stay over there herself, find a job, learn a new language, and actually work again, then she would not survive because I have kids to take care of and I'm not about to be taking my energy and time off of them to cater to her lazy butts. She then went silent on me and refused to talk to me for the rest of the evening. Fine by me, fine by everyone else. They just had a good time giggling at how delusional she was. Goodness me, I mean, at your grandmother's funeral, that is crazy. So that's her own mother's funeral then, right? I presume. Unless, you know, she's caring that much for her mother-in-law, but it's more than likely that's her own mother's funeral, right? And she's then coming over to you and saying, "Well, now that my care days are done, I'm moving to Scandinavia, baby. I can't wait. Let's go." It's very, very odd. The whole thing's odd. First of all, just moving to another country with your son and his family is weird when not invited. But the main thing is raising this and saying it loudly so that anyone else can hear at your own mother's funeral. That is mad. Entitled woman who thought she owned the park. Justice served. So, this happened a few months ago, and I still think about it. It was one of those rare moments when the universe actually balances out a situation perfectly. I live near a park where a lot of people from the neighborhood go to relax, walk their dogs, or just hang out. There's also this homeless guy, I'll call him Tim, who's been living near the park for a while. Tim's actually a pretty nice guy. He doesn't bother anyone, always picks up after himself, and even helps clean the park sometimes. He's got a little spot with a bench and some blankets, and that's where he stays. People in the community sometimes bring him food or coffee, but he never asks for anything. Well, one day I was out walking my dog, and I saw this woman, classic Karen vibes, marching over to where Tim was sitting, minding his own business. She had one of those expensive yoga mats under her arm and a tiny dog on a leash. You could just tell she was looking for a reason to cause trouble. She stops in front of Tim and starts berating him about how he shouldn't be in her park, that he was ruining the view, and how he needed to get a job and stop being lazy. She was loud, rude, and drawing attention, but Tim just sat there, calmly explaining that he wasn't hurting anyone and had every right to be in the park like anyone else. She, of course, wasn't having it. She threatened to call the cops and have him removed for trespassing, even though it's a public park. A small crowd started forming because she was causing such a scene. A couple of us tried to step in, but she wasn't listening to anyone. She eventually pulled out her phone and called the cops, making it sound like Tim was some kind of dangerous vagrant harassing her, which was a total lie. Here's where it gets good. The cops arrive, and this woman puts on her best victim performance, saying how she feels threatened and unsafe with Tim around. Tim stays totally calm and tells the cops exactly what happened. But it's clear the woman expects them to side with her. But the cops don't. It turns out one of the officers knew Tim. The cop says, "Oh, hey Tim, how's it going?" They talk for a minute, and it's clear this officer knows that Tim isn't some dangerous guy. He's just a homeless man, down on his luck, who's never caused trouble. The cop then turns to the woman and says, "Mom, this is a public park. Tim has every right to be here, just like you do." Her face completely changes. She starts sputtering, saying how it's unacceptable that people like him are allowed in places like this. She keeps pushing, asking if the officer can do something to remove him. The cop's response? Mom, if you keep causing a disturbance, you will be the one removed from the park. Boom. You could hear a pin drop. The crowd was loving it at this point. The woman huffed and puffed, grabbed her dog and stomped away, clearly embarrassed that her entitled attitude had backfired. After she left, some people in the park came over and gave Tim some food and drinks, just to show support. The cop hung out for a bit to make sure everything was okay and chatted with Tim like they were old friends. It was such a satisfying moment, seeing this entitled woman get shut down and realizing that just because you're loud and obnoxious doesn't mean you're in the right. Tim's still there at the park, and now it seems like people look out for him even more. Justice served. Oh man, there's actually nothing I hate more than someone who is like doing all right in life, aiming down at someone else who clearly isn't, and just making them feel even worse about themselves. I don't know if she actually was making Tim feel bad about himself, but just being horrible to someone that's in like a worse position than you is so bad. Like, okay, shooting upwards is one thing, but going, it's like aiming at someone else like negatively, who's in a worse position than you, is just such bad form. Like, what a terrible entitled person you have to be to do that. Surely, at the very least, you go, oh, it's annoying that, you know, this is if you're a bad person. Oh, it's annoying that this person's in the park, but he's homeless. So let's have a little bit of, you know, a little bit of sense and some care towards him. But no. Oh, you're horrible. You're a horrible homeless person in a public park. Get out. I'm going to call the police on you. It's just a joke. It is a joke. But thank God that that police officer was just a good lad. And, well, not only a good lad, but also just did his job properly, because you're allowed to be in a public park. I want to buy Tim a coffee, by the way. He sounds like a great guy, because I know if that was me in that position, I would probably, I mean, who knows? He's probably pretty used to it by now, which is a shame. But I think I would have had a different reaction. I think I would have got very, very angry, whereas he was cool and calm, respected him. And now for our final entitled people story of this episode. When two braggarts tried to stiff me with a restaurant bill. A year after I'd moved to London, I'm on a mission at a bank in Paris. As it's my birthday, I organise an evening at a restaurant with some friends that I hadn't seen in a while. Unfortunately, some of my colleagues overhear and decide to invite themselves. One of my childhood friend guests is a doctor surgeon in facial reconstruction working for Médecine Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders. He's 5 years older than me, but I dated his sister for a while before she died from overdose. I was good to her, I tried to make her quit, so he always had a soft spot for me ever since. The traders bragged about how much money they're making. They asked him how much he earned. He told them, which is pittance. Obviously, they laugh at him. When it's time to pay, they try to stiff me with their bill, which was about way above my pay grade. Guillaume intervened and discreetly paid before things turned nasty. The following day at work, the braggart jerks asked me if I feel bad for letting poor Guillaume pay. His family's like the fifth richest family in France. He doesn't give a dang about money. He lives alone in a 200 meter square hotel particularly on one of the biggest avenues in Paris. He does not need the pay from MSF. In fact, he donates it back to MSF. Suddenly, they keep asking when our great pal Guillaume is coming back, because they have a great investment vehicle for him and his family. At lunchtime, Guillaume comes to pick me up so we can have lunch, just the two of us. I don't have a French phone number, and mobile phones are banned on the trading floor, so the receptionist uses the squawk box to announce Mr. Guillaume XXX for me at reception. He has a very particularly easily recognisable family name. The boss of the braggarts hears the name and immediately recognises it. He jumps in and tries to introduce himself. Guillaume says that after two of these employees try to stiff one of his best friends for a restaurant meal, he will definitely not be using them for his trust fund, and that in fact, he will recommend to his father that he goes to a more ethical bank. As we left, we could hear the boss reading the riot act to the two bozos. And this right here is why you'll never catch me working in investment banking or on a trading floor or something like that. Actually, back in the day, I did think that one day I'd like to do something like this, but from talking to a few of my mates and seeing stories like this, I'm just not sure about the people. I think the job itself would be pretty intense, pretty potentially rewarding. I don't know if ethically it's that great, but you know, it's just the people that are just so like inherently selfish, which I think maybe you have to be a little bit to do well in this sort of game. But in this situation, no. Maybe actually this story goes against the point I've just tried to make there. And actually, it is all about being nice, because yeah, maybe you can make some steps pretty quickly if you're aggressive and you don't care about anyone else. this sounds like maybe the sort of industry where you could do that. I don't know. Let me know down below if you know more about it than me. And that's kind of what I've heard from people. But long term, does it get you anywhere? I'm not really sure. Anyway, guys, that is going to do it for this one. Before you go, drop me a comment down below if you're a fan of the channel. What do you think about no intros on these episodes? I kind of want to get into the story straight away, particularly for new viewers who come across the channel and just want to get straight into the story. But for you guys still listening and watching right now, what do you think about no intros? Would you like to see them back? Let me know in the comments down below.